I'm your host, Frankie, and with me, as always,
Jeremy David King.
So strap in, smash that pedal, and ride with us down the paranormal highway.
Let's debunk and find the truth behind every ghost story in the world of transportation.
Welcome to Haunted Garage.
Let's rev it.
Dean, didn't you, James?
Well,
Dean?
My very first night in Hollywood, I met James Dean. It was a very, very odd occurrence. I'd arrived off the plane. Those were, you know, took a long time in those days, about 16 hours flight. And I'd been met by Grace Kelly and various people, but I found that I was alone for myself for the evening. And a woman I knew phoned up and said, let me take you out to dinner. And we went to various places, and she was wearing trousers, and they wouldn't let her in any of the smart Hollywood restaurants. Think of it, you know, whatever it was, 1952, 54, something like that. However, we finally went to a little Italian dive, and that was full. And so one got turned away. I said, honestly, I don't mind just a hamburger anyway. I was hungry by then. And then I heard feet running down the street, and it was James Dean. And he said, I was in that restaurant, you couldn't get a table. And my name's James Dean. He said, will you come and join me? So we said, yes, very kind of him. And then going back into the restaurant, he said, oh, before we go in, I must show you something. I've just got a new car. And there in the courtyard of this little restaurant was a, I don't know what the car was, some little silver, very smart thing, all done up in cellophane with a bunch of roses tied to its bonnet. And I said, how fast can you drive in this? He said, oh, I can do 150 in it. And I said, have you driven it? He said, no, I've never been in it at all. And some strange thing came over me, some almost different voice. And I said, look, I won't join your table unless you want me to, but I must say something. Please do not get into that car, because if you do, and I looked at my watch, and I said, if you get into that car at all, it's now Thursday, whatever the date was, 10 o'clock at night, and by 10 o'clock at night, next Thursday, you'll be dead.
Welcome back to Haunted Garage. I'm your host, Frankie, and with me, as always,
Jeremy David King.
In this episode, we're exploring some haunted transportation from all over the globe, including the UK. One of the most famous, though, of course, is James Dean's car, his Porsche Spyder, the little bastard. Yes, that's the great prediction by Alec Guinness. We know him as Ben Kenobi. Our generation knows him as Ben Kenobi, but he was a Shakespearean actor and Oscar winner for Bridge on the River Kwai and a bunch of other things that he would do throughout his entire career. Although Alec Guinness had talked and spoke about this great prediction, he never really was involved with anything that occurred after it. In fact, this car was up for sale numerous times after the accident that James Dean had, not only for the purposes of some type of lore that is attached to it, because it was at one point James Dean car. That always makes cars worth more money. If you look at what's going on in the last year or 2 years ago now, I believe, Tupac's BMW was sold for like close to $5.7 million or something like that at auction. And the guy that had it restored wanted the bullet holes kept in it. This is something that we call morbid curiosity. Sometimes people just, we do have experts that are friends that do this type of stuff. So he can explain that more as a clinical psychologist. And maybe one day, if we're hopeful and we're lucky, we can get Colton Scribner on the show and just basically explain like why people collect certain things. Things, especially something so we would think demented as the death car of James Dean. But the attraction to the story for us doesn't really have to do with the car, although we love Porsche, we love, you know, everything that they're doing in the automotive world. What attracts us to this story is what happened after. Was the car cursed? Was it haunted? Was it keeping spirits of James Dean? Was it warning other people not to get in that car? As Alec Guinness poetically put it. Jeremy, this case is interesting. It's a weird case. He's actually killed because of a Ford. a Ford Deluxe. This would be the same car Bonnie and Clyde years earlier, 20 years earlier,
right.
Would also be killed in.
Same model.
Same model.
The same year.
Yeah, same year. Yeah, model. Same model. But that was a big seller for them,
right?
The Ford Deluxe. It came in a coupe, too.
Yes, and a convertible.
So very, very, like I said, that car was way bigger than James Dean's Porsche, which...
Probably double the weight, probably double the size and height.
Yeah, and it had probably a V8 flathead.
Probably.
We're not going to get too much into the car specs here. This is more of a paranormal show. If you do like the car spec stuff, then join us on our YouTube channel where you get to see our lovely faces, and we talk a lot about serial killer cars and all that type of stuff. This is focused mostly on the paranormal, the cursing, and some of the other stuff that is associated with James Dean's Little Bastard. As you'll see in the upcoming minutes here, Jeremy will go over some very interesting specs within the car and what happens after the car. We do know 23-year-old...
Donald Turpinseed was making a left turn right in front of James Dean, and they ended up hitting head on. This was September 30th, 1955, about 5:45 p.m. Obviously, James Dean died.
Instantly.
Broke both his arms, broke basically his face.
Yeah, and his neck.
Yeah, so he did not survive the... mechanic who was riding with him, who encouraged him to take this trip. They were traveling to a race, and they said they were going to trailer it. And he's like, why don't you drive it and get used to it? Because he had only had it a few weeks.
Yeah.
And mechanic survived. Donald Turpinseed basically was minor injuries because he was driving a tank. He
walked home, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that says something. He walked home. They, you know, obviously, James Dean dies.
There are pictures on our Instagram related to this story. I will warn you, the carnage, the wreck is traumatic to look at. I'm a huge fan of James Dean. Every muscle car guy, every motorhead, gearhead, bike. He was a biker too. He was known as a One Speed Dean. That was his name. He was an actual race car driver. He was a motorcyclist. I mean, he wasn't just a part that played in a movie, like in today's world, where you have a bunch of people that want to play parts that they shouldn't even be associated with. James mm-hmm. Dean was an actual man's man, like Steve McQueen. These were the people that we idolize and look up to, and James Dean was really the kickoff of these men in film. And Steve McQueen is another race car driver. His son, Steve McQueen's son, was also a race car driver, was in a terrible, terrible car accident as well on the track. And I think got severely injured as well. So these were cars, and these were car guys. So they kind of fit right into the line. But unfortunately, some people claim, Jeremy, that on this road, because he had that silver car that sat so low to the ground, that it's possible that he didn't even see him.
True, because the car is very small. I mean, I don't think people realize this car, I think the footprint is actually a smidge smaller than a VW Beetle.
It's insane.
Like, which is already a really small car, and it sits way lower. And then you're out in the desert, it's silver, it could look like a Mirage.
Yeah, just a reflection. Like,
right.
You know, he probably never even saw it happen.
And he was going, you know, Dean was allegedly going 85 miles an hour.
And Turpinseed was just turning, so
yeah,
he couldn't have been going more than 15, maybe?
Nope. And honestly, I haven't seen a picture of that Ford.
No.
I've seen this car, and one thing about this car that I noticed when I was looking at the pictures is, the wreck, they haul it to a shop mm-hmm. and they take pictures of it. And then uh-huh. I see the pictures that George Barris was displaying the car. That does not look like the same car.
That is weird. You showed me that picture earlier, and I was wondering the same thing. Like, is something amiss here?
The cowl is destroyed on that car, and the cowl is right there on the Barris displayed car.
But Barris was an incredible body shop guy. I mean,
true.
He's responsible for the Eddie Munster, right? I mean, this is...
The Munster coach, and Dragula, the Batmobile, I think the Monkey's car.
Yep, the Monkey's car. Beverly Hills?
Oh, yeah, the Beverly Hillbillies, Jalopy, and countless other just custom cars. I think he did the Beatnik Bandit, which became a Hot Wheel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a dude that everybody knows.
Yeah. And I think he even at one point had a Pink Panther car that was kind of cool if you look that up.
Oh, I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, it's pretty
always
cool.
I like that movie.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Barris died in the early 2000s. But before he dies, he does make that claim that, we'll get into it. So after Dean got into his horrific accident, the car actually does get sold. And another person decides to race it. Jeremy, do you have that story?
So a guy named William Esrich bought parts off the car. He had been looking for it, found it in the junkyard, bought some parts off of it. He put the motor from that Porsche in his Lotus and then gave the transmission and suspension to a friend named Troy Lee McHenry. Mm-hmm. In the exact same race, 1956 Pomona Road Races.
So this is where Dean was headed?
No. Okay. This would be a year later. It possibly is the race that he was going to.
Okay.
But they both, Esrich and McHenry, race in this race. Esrich's car wrecks. McHenry's car hits a tree and he dies. Very similar.
Dean's.
Yeah, the transmission and suspension parts. So they're both knocked out of the race. McHenry is knocked out of life.
Wow.
And that's, you know.
Is this the first claim of that? This is when the curse and the lore starts to begin?
This is when that starts. excuse me. Then George Barris buys the car. He displays it as like a, you know, accident avoidance type thing.
Okay.
However, it falls off this truck several times.
Falls off the truck?
Yeah, when they're transporting it, and also when it's displayed, it actually falls on a guy and allegedly kills that guy. Now, when I did research for this before, I found that story, but I found no proof that that was true.
Okay, so that could be just conjecture.
Right.
Just adding to the lore, could have been something like a marketing Barris spin that he flowed out into the... I mean, these guys are Hollywood guys. I mean, come on, they embellish everything, right?
I mean, for real. Yeah. For real.
And then the fact to make it, you know, against, you know, racing cars is so California.
And there's, you know, so, like, the car kind of disappears. The axle stays in that family. They eventually sell it at auction for like $360,000. And guess who buys it?
Zach Maggins.
Yep.
It's actually in his museum, I believe.
It is.
Is Zach ever going to invite us to the museum?
No.
Are we ever going to see Dean's car?
No.
Does he like us?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
He might.
He might. He likes you. He spoke highly of you in that one episode, even though he cut you out of it.
He cut me out of it.
For the drunk guy, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, you know, maybe, you know, if you were the, you know, the story of a...
I'm dying over here.
Maybe if you were one of the ghosts, it could have been something.
If I died.
Exactly.
If I fell down the steps, I would have been in the episode.
He would have made it. He had a memorial for you.
Yeah. But, yeah, so the car travels around, and then eventually it just disappears. Like, it's stolen. Nobody knows where it goes. This is like in the 60s, like 1960 or 61. It disappears. Nobody knows where this car is. In 2005, Barris puts a bounty for this car, like $1 million or something.
So the internal components are sold at auction. Zach Baggins now owns that. He owns the Kevorkian thing. He is basically stacking up some haunted transportation within his haunted museum. But as far as the actual aluminum for this car, the body of this car, the little bastard, that's still missing?
There is allegedly a chunk of the windshield frame in an auto museum just north of where I live.
In Illinois.
Yeah. I think it's called
the
Volo.
So we'll have the corn on the macabre where this museum is and check out some of Dean's stuff. Stay away from it. Don't put that what is it, a screen, right? It's a windscreen, isn't it?
Well, I think it's just a aluminum piece of the frame.
Unbelievable.
So it's like, how do you prove that was part of James Dean's car? I know how you prove. Why don't you attach it to your car? Go for a drive. See what happens.
And see the tree come right at you and end up like that. So now we have basically to the record, there was three deaths on the actual car.
Right.
Tied to James Dean.
Yes. Three deaths. One alleged.
One alleged.
Because that was the person that the car... His name is George Barkus.
Okay. And this was like the truck driver transporting it, and it fell on him.
Oh, wow.
So I never found any confirmation of it, but almost all the stories claim that. So, you know, it's one of those things. Like
right.
Ghost hunting, you know, there's a lot of stories out there.
All of these things.
So when you look at Zach Bagans owning this piece of not only history, right?
Right.
I mean, Hollywood history. I mean, James Dean was very loved. I wonder, you know, it does kind of, I ponder, you know, maybe something is going on in that museum. I cannot wait to go. I think we should definitely,
go.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need to, it's expanded. I mean, I know I had a friend that went to it. He said it was pretty cool. And there's a lot of stuff there.
I've never heard anything bad about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's Zach, dude. I mean, he is really the reason why. I mean, him and Chad Kalick, you got to give Chad some credit, too. I mean, we'll talk more about some paranormal ghost hunters that we like, that we've looked up to, that we really respect in this industry, too, as the episodes go on here on the radio. This episode is dedicated to some haunted transportation. And we started with James Dean just because of the great prediction from Alec Guinness, which is just haunting that something did come over. And he says something came over me.
Right.
But a lot of times people, I mean, James Dean was responsible for saying something that was very odd.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Live fast, die young, be a beautiful corpse.
Yep.
And it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It really was, because he was 24.
He was very young. And he was actually, he had two movies in the Oscars that year, and he was nominated for both of them.
Which is a record.
It's a record. And Heath Ledger actually
won.
Same thing happened with him. He was dead, and he did win. James did not win, I don't think.
No, I don't think he did.
He was still very young in his career. More on haunted transportation when we return. I think we have some really fun stories, and one out of the UK, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the show.
Oh my God.
All these things. Mom.
Oh, my God.
I know. We're doing it again, Mom. I'm sorry. So at the end of the last segment, we talked a little bit about James Dean's Little Bastard, his car. We're going to move right into something that's not as famous as, you know, the James Dean story, but
way crazier.
And then we'll get right into the most famous haunted car,
but the most unknown haunted car at the same time.
Exactly.
It's really weird.
It's very strange. But once again, we've mentioned, you know, Stephen King before with Firestarter and where he gets his, you know, information, and a lot of that stuff too is, it's conjecture. I mean, when I first heard about Firestarter Girl from Valley, you know, it might have been. I mean, anybody is curious and looking for new tales to tell can look at old newspapers. I mean, that's where some stories and some hauntings and some horror really, really lives inside those vacuums of history. So with this car, we're actually going to travel to the UK. The car we're going to mention might not be familiar to you, but it is a GM.
It is GM. It's a Vauxhall Astra.
Which would have been a Saturn.
It really looks like Ion. A Saturn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it came, you know, like there was a 3-door, 5-door sedan. There was a wagon. There was even a van version.
Wow. I mean,
well, European cars all look weird anyways. They call them weird things too. It's like, it's a saloon.
Uh-huh.
And that, I guess, means a sedan.
Yeah.
And then a coupe means a coupe.
Uh-huh.
An estate is a wagon where a hatchback is still a hatchback.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know.
In this car, thank you, Larry King. In this car, though, however, now, I've read this story a couple times, and I had to get my head around it.
It's really weird.
It's a very strange story. And we're not just saying that to get you all riled up in our little segment here. We only, you know, the second segment here is a fun one because really it's kind of like a bedtime story. But this story has haunted us literally for the last couple of years when we first read about it. We've never done this episode.
I think we recorded it once and never released it.
Yeah, we talked about it a bunch of times, and I don't even know if we recorded it, actually.
I do remember a lot of burping.
Yeah, we're not going to do it. Yeah. But we're not going to do that this time. We're actually going to jump right into it, and at the end of it, we'd love to hear some comments on our thread. If you're not following us, you should be. Corn in the Macabre is going to have James Dean's car, so make sure you check that out, some of those pictures, and download those, share those. So that's on our website, hauntedgarage.net. You can't miss it. It's me and Jeremy's beautiful face with our amazing Mothman Nova is what we're calling it right now, all blacked out and with red eyes. So, I mean, it looks just like Mothman. So follow us there on Haunted Garage, The Haunted Garage on Instagram. We'll also have some posts. And if you like this episode, we'll have it on there. Make sure you leave some comments. If you have something going on in your house and would like some private investigations or just to talk about, hey man, like I think this is going on, what should I do? Please feel free to DM us or email us. Pretty easy emails too. It's Frankie with an I dot Cambaletta, which is my last name, which you can find online at hauntedgarage.net, and then jeremy.king at hauntedgarage.net. Email him too. He is really an expert in the St. Louis area, and chances are, if you bought a house here, it might be haunted. He's already investigated it, so they might have some history for it. But I digress. Let us get right into this story.
So December 11th, 2002, about 7:20 p.m., on the A3 going into Surrey, which I have no clue where that is because, I mean, I'm from St. Louis.
It's definitely in the UK.
Yeah, Surrey. I mean, that's probably the highway that Ron and Harry passed in the Ford Anglia.
They're on the A3.
And they saw a red car swerve off the road and into the brush.
A bunch of people saw this car.
Yes, there were a bunch of phone calls in to the police department.
And the date is?
This is December 11th.
So it's possible there was ice on the road. There might have been snow or something.
I mean it especially does get over there.
Yeah.
It gets way colder over there.
It's an island.
And they're like, I mean, I think they're the same latitude as like southern Canada.
Yeah, it gets cold.
Yeah.
And so somebody is driving and people in traffic are watching this car kind of veer off the road and then kind of just vanish.
Right. So the police arrive and they don't see any cars. They don't see any tracks. They actually start digging around in the brush and about 20 yards-ish off the road, they find this red car, this red Vauxhall. And it's clearly been in an accident. The windshield's smashed. The driver's door is smashed. And
it's only 20 yards from the road.
Yes.
You would think, but what happened? I mean, the first thing I thought was like it gets swallowed, right? It's just overgrowth, right. And it goes in there, and then the trees kind of move back because, you know, where are they going to go? Branches are flexible. And that's what I'm thinking. Oh, my God, he's probably just, you know, hidden in there.
Right.
But that wasn't the case.
No. So just off the passenger side, they find skeletonized remains of a 21-year-old male, Mr. Christopher Chandler. Who's been missing, they find out, since the last time he was seen alive was July 16th.
So let's recap that. It's December. It's 2002. They're driving down the A3 out of Surrey. People are witnessing this car swerve off the road and looks like it's heading into a brush, underbrush, where it is going to crash and, you know, hopefully, you know, people are going to be okay. But the first thing people are thinking is they probably have cell phones, right? They don't have smartphones, but they have cell phones. They're going to call and they're like, we got to call, you know, the police and right. report this accident and see if that person can get some help.
And several people did report it.
Yeah. So this is reported. It's December. And then when the cops finally investigate, when they first go out there, they don't find anything though.
They're like,
because you would think that when a car is going off the road, especially at speeds like
it's
in Europe,
it's gonna kick up some dirt.
Yeah, and, you're gonna definitely tracks. See some. Yep.
Or you know the wheels are locked up. It's gonna definitely cause like a skid mark into the grass.
Yeah,
on the pavement.
Yeah. Make some divots because you're trying to do all you can to overcorrect at that point.
Right.
And so they don't see anything. So at this point, they're kind of thinking maybe it's a prank.
And they do dig around and they find it. And then they find his remains.
Which are skeletal.
Yeah. Like I was thinking about this 5 months.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cold up there, even year round. It doesn't get, I don't think there's like London summers that are like 100 degrees.
Yeah. I don't know. July I would think is hot for everyone. But Yeah, I mean, missing since July. I think his brother reported him missing. There was a missed. There was one call that went out, and the police believe that it was only a 1 second call. It probably never made connection to his brother. Right. So it looks like he had gotten out of the car. He wasn't ejected from the car.
No, it appeared that he had crawled out of the car, but succumbed to his injuries just a few feet away.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then I guess animals, wildlife really didn't even pick at it. So
I can't even figure like what kind of wildlife is in England. Like, didn't they hunt everything out? There's nothing left there.
There's
right?
nothing left there. You killed There's everything no with animals? The foxes.
God. Oh, they try and kill the foxes too.
Yeah, but this guy's like,
I'm dying over here.
And then nobody's it. Like, no hey, what can I do? Give me a call.
So we want to get back into that very first episode that we did a month ago now when you think about that. But this is something that's kind of interesting, too. We talked about residual haunting. So if you are been following us and you've been listening to all the episodes we've had thus far, we would like you to hit this basically hit this post on our Instagram at the Haunted Garage and tell us what you think this haunting is. Now, I'll back it up real quick for you. You're seeing something go off the road. You report it. The cops said there is nothing here. Upon further inspection, they do find the car, but the guy's been dead for 6 months. So was it residual?
And this is the debate because it hasn't been seen to any report that I've found. That was the time it was seen. So if the cops find him, that if he was an intelligent haunt, that's his finished business. They found my body, right?
Yeah, his brother knows what happened to, you know, his brother. I mean, and so that could be the unfinished business. And these are the tales that, you know, you don't hear stories like this a lot, but these are the ones that are gripping, right? Like, so maybe you can take that A3 heading out of Surrey and you might never, or heading into Surrey, you might never see this car again.
Correct.
But the energy that was displayed there, and maybe, you know, he glanced away for a second, maybe he got caught in black ice and he just swerved and he was dead before he even knew it. So, well,
maybe he was eating chips and he dropped one and went to get it.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah, it's that.
Maybe he spilled his beer,
but I don't know. He also might have been calling his brother, let him know he's heading there.
Right.
And he looked up and he was in the turn. So it's a crazy story because you try to put your head around it and it's like, man, it happens that. So maybe he didn't really, he had to do something with the energy that was bestowed upon him at that point because he jumped. That's a traumatic death. And that's what another thing we're talking about too. These traumatic deaths have possibly more energy to materialize types of aspects.
True.
But to wait to December, or maybe other people reported this and the cops are like, here we go again.
What's with this red car on the A3 over here?
And the name of the actual town is
Burpham.
It's Burpham.
Yeah.
So Burpham is where this story, you can read about it. It's not a lot to read about it. It's one of their crazy ghost stories that they know. But once again, hitting that post, is it intelligent? Is it residual? Maybe it still does happen.
Yeah, maybe people know the story now and they're like, oh, I saw the car.
Yeah. And that's how lores and legends begin, right?
Right. I mean, it's such a weird story. Like, it's still kind of hard to wrap your head around. Like, this guy gets in an accident and 5.5 months later, people see the car do exactly what it did before. And there he's laying dead.
And there are other stories that are similar to this. There's ghost trains. There's semi trucks. There's a famous truck highway where a truck gets behind you. All you see is the headlights. And
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of this too.
So that's
did you hear about that truck though? It sideswiped somebody and literally took their arm off.
No.
And then they were arrested for armed robbery.
I'm dying over here.
So, wow. And that's the first one.
No.
So, yeah. And there it is, guys. He had me. You had me.
I know. I saw like, your whoa, face. Whoa. You're like, what? Yeah,
I mean, you just come off the Burpham story, and it's like, oh, my God. You got James Dean in the first segment. And, you know, so this car, we get asked a lot about this car. Does this car still exist? Was it impounded? And honestly, there is no trail to what happens in this car. Europe, it's tough to kind of track cars. It's not like here where we can run VIN numbers and stuff like that. This was probably impounded and then basically smelt it down and crushed and scrapped. I don't think the brother would have salvaged the car at all.
It's not even like a, it's not a collector car.
No.
I mean, this is GM brand engineering junk. Yeah. And that's me saying that.
I mean, Saturn.
I'm a GM fan.
Saturn almost bankrupted them.
I know. Oh, I'm not a Saturn. Saturn made one good car the entire time, and it was also called a Pontiac Solstice.
Yeah, it was a Skyline or something?
The Sky. Yeah, the Saturn Sky. Those were sexy. Cool. They were sexy.
Pretty cool.
They almost released that as a Chevy Stingray. Like a smaller, like two-seater, six-cylinder. And they had a turbo. I think it was a turbo version because there was a red line one.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what they did with the Pontiac.
Crazy. But it was,
they were fast.
So when we return, we're going to tell you a legendary story that spawned a movie that you might have seen. And the name of that movie is Christine. Stay tuned. We have to go to a short break. Welcome back, guys, to Haunted Garage. Our final segment here tonight brings us to the actual and true story of Christine, one of our favorite movies. This is just a killer Stephen King film. I believe they're remaking this, and I believe it's Blumhouse. And so, you know, all the guys at Blumhouse, I don't always, you know, not always a big fan of their movies, but sometimes their movies just really...
Oh, I love their movies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love The Deep House, and a lot of people didn't talk about that one.
I don't know why. That movie was great. That's the movie I told you about.
In general, I loved all the Halloweens. I did not like Exorcist Believer. I thought that, but I'm Catholic and like, dude, you're not.
No. I didn't like that movie either. And I'm a huge Exorcist fan. I own all the other movies, even the remake of the same movie.
Yeah.
Dominion and The Beginning.
Yeah. But with Blumhouse joining with, you know,
James Wan,
I think that he might have a hand or a dealt in Christine. I really do hope they bring back Arnie. I know Arnie.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. Well, he's like a director now.
He's directed some really good stuff too, and some HBO stuff. And so he's stayed in the industry. You know, Darnell, I think, is gone now.
Yeah, he was an old guy then.
Yeah, so it's some of the most amazing muscle cars are in this film too.
Oh, yeah, because
his friend
Dennis drives a 69?
Camaro, blue one.
And then, no, that's Buddy Ripperton.
Buddy Ripperton has the blue Camaro.
Dennis drives the Charger.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So there's some mean cars. And then when you look at all the muscle cars that are going on in this, this one thing is picked out. It's a 58 Fury. And one of the big mistakes in Stephen King's book is that he names the Fury a four-door car. Well, the funny thing about the Plymouth Fury, never made a four-door. Actually only made two-door. And that's why this was the car that kind of competed with... the 57 Chevy. Now, the 57 Chevy is probably untouchable when it comes to beauty and marks.
I was going to say, there's no comparison. That's like the ugly stepchild.
It is the ugliest, one of the ugliest cars ever made, in my opinion.
Ford can beat it with the Edsel.
Oh, God.
I would actually drive.
Edsel and now the Maverick.
A Fury. Oh, the Maverick's terrible.
Oh, what is that car?
It's a trar.
It doesn't know what it wants. It doesn't know how to identify.
It doesn't. Which bathroom does it go to?
The family one. So looking back at the Christine movie, there is some interesting highlights of that film. It didn't do as well as you would have thought. It actually became a cult classic kind of after the release. And this would happen a lot to Stephen King. But when people saw the movie and then read the book, they're like, man, that'd be crazy if that actually happened. Well,
turns out it might have.
It actually did happen. And it happened in a most grimacing way. It has two different tales, a tale of good, a tale of evil.
Right.
And a tale of a old orchard sea witch who currently owns the car that is actually named the Golden Eagle.
And was ranked number one in the world in The Witcher 3.
Yes.
That's crazy.
She's an online gamer. She's pretty good at the online gaming thing.
Yeah.
I would love to know her take on The Witcher series on Netflix. But as we dive into the Golden Eagle, the actual Golden Eagle, the Christine car that we're talking about was not a 58 Plymouth Fury. It wasn't even a Plymouth.
Same.
It was umbrella. Mopar.
It was a Mopar. It was a Dodge.
It's a Dodge 330.
1964.
Yeah, 1964, 330 Polar, which was very popular as professional cars. These were, cop cars. These were cabs, fire cars as well, yep. so fire department cars. So you would have seen a lot of these. It's unmistakable. The grill on a Polaris is unmistakable. Polaris did make actually a two-door that was pretty quick.
Yes. I think they actually had one that had the 440
in it. It does. It had the 440. It's actually sitting over here in Pacific, Missouri. If you're interested in that car, it's red and red. It's beautiful. It actually has the plaid seats, and it's very fast, drives like a dream. I think it's still for sale. Very, very cool. Has the hood scoop and everything, because that is a Mopar thing. And
I think they look very cool. The way the headlights have the round trim yes. around them, it reminds me of the Chrysler Turbine car.
100%. The billet grill, though, is the unmistakable part. When you see the Golden Eagle, which will be on our Instagram page, and please go ahead and comment, like, subscribe, do the things that we need to do to keep this show going. We want to keep the Power Paranormal Hour here on News Talk STL. So please give us give us a little bit of attendance. Give us a little bit of a follow. Share our stuff.
Buy stuff from the people advertising.
Exactly. Exactly. They've all been checked in. So that's good. And, if you want, stop on the over hauntedgarage.net. We got some cool merch as well. So,
Oh, my God.
I know, Mom. I know. I went too far again. But it's
all of these things.
We have to get to them. We have to mention them all. Okay. But as we get back into it, the Polaris. Dodge Polara. Is unmistakable. The grill is unmistakable. It's got
you can't miss this car.
Yeah, you can't.
It looks like a giant dart.
Right. And that's the thing about it. It's very original. Like, it's not mm-hmm. going to be confused with something else.
Correct. You're not going to look at it and say, is that a Chevelle or a 442 or a Buick or... Right.
Skylark.
It doesn't look like any of them.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So we'll actually get into it here. It actually starts originally as a cop car.
Yes. It was for the old Orchard Beach, Maine. That's where it was originally. It had five owners. Wendy Allen has owned it since 1983. There's weird claims around this car. Yeah. There's a claim that it went over 200 miles an hour to drive a kid to the hospital.
Yeah, it's when it was with the fire department.
Right, which is completely impossible. Yeah. That car had a top speed of 127, so that's...
Yeah, I mean, you're flooring it, and it's only going to go a certain amount, right? If you know how compression works, right? I mean,
and you think, it's got a three-speed auto, probably?
Maybe they had, a leaf blower, and they were just blowing it into the carburetor. And which just
does work.
It does work.
It does work.
Seen it
do it.
So...
But yeah, there's so uh-huh. just quick about the movie, just a couple of specs. It only made $21 million, released December 9th, 1983. It was the book was only released April 29th, 1983. So maybe that's part of the reason it didn't make as much money as
it should have waited a little bit.
Yeah, give it a little time.
But I think Stephen King already had that reputation of, putting movies out.
Oh, he definitely did. So, by then, was this 83? The Shining had already been made.
Yeah. I don't think any other horror writer has this much success in films. He has a lot of films.
I mean, he has way more. I've watched basically every Stephen King movie that I can find, and I know there's movies out there I haven't seen of his.
It's crazy. Like Secret Window.
I own that one.
Yeah, that one's a good one.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, that's a crazy movie.
With Johnny Depp and John Turturro and, who's the
black dude? Love John Turturro.
The black dude who was the private investigator.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's not Forrest Whitaker.
No, his name escapes me right now. We'll find it. If you know it, hit that status, hit that post on the IG. Let us know who that is, and maybe you'll get some stickers or something. Listen, so let's back it up a little bit. We got a little excited about Christine and cars. This is what happens with us. We're like at a car show, right? Cars. Stuck at one car, and we have 50 million to look at. So it was originally owned by the cops.
Yes, it was the old Orchard Beach Police Department originally owned the car. Owner two, Dr. Larche of Ocean Avenue, but not from the Amityville because this is in Maine. Owned it from 65 to 72, painted the car gold matte gold, and he's the one who called the car Christine.
Mm-hmm.
Owner three, David Marcotte, 72 to 75, painted the car orange metallic color, which is a Cadillac color called Copper Penny from 64. Owner five, Old Orchard Beach fireman Kenneth Ricker Allen, 75 to 83, used the car as a first responder vehicle, and Wendy Allen is the current owner now. She named the car the Golden Eagle as to like push away the Christine image.
But aside from even like renaming this car, this is, it still has a very strange history. I mean, some of the cops, we can go into that. I think it was two cops that actually rode in that car would end up doing family asides.
Yes.
So if you don't know what a family aside is, that is when you take your family's life as well as your own. There's about, in the United States, since the inception, since we started counting family asides, there's roughly around 128 family asides have been committed.
And two of them are related to this car.
And two of them are related to this car. That's how crazy this is. So whoever was riding in that car, and we'll get into something very crazy about this car, which was a dare. But But this car goes to the fire department after this and then does some interesting things. One of the stories is the 200 mile an hour.
Yeah, which is completely 100% impossible.
Yeah.
Like that can't happen.
And it could just be embellishment. I mean, maybe they did get to the hospital maybe 20 minutes faster than they would normally would, maybe because there wasn't traffic on the road.
And if you're running 127 miles an hour, I mean, you're moving.
Right, and you can just be like, how fast were you going? I don't know, about 200 miles. Could have just been like hearsay.
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it is possible that story would check out. Then there was a fight between the cops and the firefighters, correct, over this car?
Yes, and let me find
It's a strange story. Because the cops want the car destroyed. The fire department says the cop is, you know, it's angelic and it's fast and it's one of the best ambulances we have. You could fit a lot of people in this car too. When you look at it online, it doesn't look like much, but if you actually see these things in person, they're boats, man. They're huge cars.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. 2006, October 18th, somebody put a bomb in her house. Next to the garage, it destroys the house, car untouched.
Oh my God.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
2008, May 20th, Matt Cushing, a week after allegedly being dared to touch the car, goes home, uses a gun and knife to kill his mother, stepfather, brother, and family dog. He's convicted for life without the possibility of parole.
That's a famous case, too. You can actually read all about that. There's even a documentary, I believe, that came out within the last 4 years.
I think so.
About this case. And the reason why this case kind of resonates with a lot of people is because this car is responsible for three family asides. They had the two cops before and then this child that actually touched the car. Some even believe that the car is possessed by some type of alien. Have you heard this story?
Right. Yeah, I've and you know, there's another Stephen King story that is about a car that's like taken over by an alien. It's called From a Buick 8.
From a Buick 8.
Yes. I've read a lot of Stephen King.
Yes, I can see that.
2009, Bruce Savoy goes home, kills his wife, and then himself. And they found three suicide notes. So I don't know why there were three.
Well, sometimes in that deed, you write letters to friends and family and also officers on the scene. It's actually common.
That's crazy. Well, I guess so. I mean, it's kind of like we heard about the, you know, if you're going to commit suicide, a lot of times they find bullet holes in like a mattress.
Yeah.
They shoot. Were practicing first.
Yeah. They want to smell the gunpowder.
Gunpowder, which I like that smell.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I like to shoot.
Just not for these things.
One child was struck by a car and landed on the hood of the Golden Eagle and died.
Yeah, that's crazy. So this is when she starts, Wendy Allen, who owns a car. It was actually, I guess, out on the side of the road at some point.
Yes.
And people had access to it.
And you know, people would try and tear pieces off of it. Dead animals are allegedly found near the car. Kenneth Ricker Allen was the town hero when he drove a 10-year-old girl. She was burned. Mm-hmm. And he drove her from Old Orchard Beach, Maine, to St. Jude's Hospital at allegedly 200 miles an hour. Hundreds of witnesses have reported seeing the car in flames coming from the wheels. And this is during that trip.
I mean, if you are
doing 200 miles an hour on bias ply tires, that probably caused a fire.
That's very possible. I mean, especially brakes too. I mean, brakes will light those, you know, light your rotors up like big ambers.
They probably didn't even, it's the 64. It probably had drum brakes four wheel.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, the internals of those cars though, the fire probably was undrivable when he got back in it. I mean, if that's true.
Oh yeah. Like everything, all the bearings would have locked up.
Yeah.
He could only do a burnout. Exactly. Because the front wheels were locked up.
Put a little heat on it.
People claim the car is demonic and evil. Firemen claim the car was the reason for being able to save so many lives, though. Yes. They're saying because it was so fast. May 10th, members of a church, Seiko Ward Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, allegedly tore the Dodge apart by chaining the car to bumpers of trucks and then having them drive in separate directions. So yeah. They, what is that called? When, you know, they did that to William Wallace.
Yeah, it's disembowelment.
Drawn and quartered.
They drawn and quartered the car. And then that's kind of where the, because she's given this car based on the suicide, right? I mean, it was her uncle.
Right. So it stayed in the family, yeah. And then people are from destroying the Mormons, this car.
Yeah, the Church of Latter-day Saints comes out and just says, hey, we're going to destroy this car because there's a demon in it.
Like, what did Joseph Smith call him? Hey, guys, I've dropped a tablet here in Maine in Old Orchard Beach. I need you to take your pickup trucks.
Yes.
Because, no. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's one of the craziest stories here. I mean, so Wendy Allen has the car still.
Yes.
Yeah, and she keeps it in a storage container, which is probably smart.
Right. I think it's not drivable at this point.
It's not.
And it's all beat up.
Right, and it was estimated they would cost close to $230,000 to kind of repair the thing. So, I mean, it's not even worth that.
No. It's probably worth... If it was cherry, it's probably worth $30,000 at the most.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, maybe if, you know, we had mentioned them earlier today, but Zach Bagans would probably make her an offer on that car. I mean, it does have an interesting lore. It does have an interesting history to it.
Well, I know Zach Bagans is a fan of the show.
Right.
And he's an avid listener. And Zach, we're going to suggest that you call the Old Orchard Beach Witch.
Wendy Allen.
All of these things.
You know, maybe make her an offer on the Golden Eagle.
Yes.
Because when we come to your museum, I'm going to touch it.
Oh, yeah. You have. You've done some crazy stuff on Ghost Hunts. You've done the dare. Yeah. You've jumped off the devil's portal and all this type of stuff. There's something going on now in the Missouri Ozarks. There's this sinkhole that they built a staircase down to.
Oh, yeah. I just saw that.
It's insane. It's kind of crazy. I just
saw it. It was like a sinkhole cave?
Yes.
Yes. I just saw that.
So that could be a cool upcoming episode.
Me falling down the steps all the way to the bottom.
I'm dying over here.
Somebody's going to have to carry me. It's going to take six of you.
So to summate, do you believe that cars can be haunted? Can they carry passengers beyond?
Absolutely. Yeah. Why can people be attached to an old video camera or a clock or a house or a piece of property and not be attached to a car?
Yeah.
Nobody goes and tries to buy their childhood home. I mean, maybe there's probably a couple of people who have, but how many times, and we've actually experienced this where we sold a car back to the original owner who was looking for it.
Yeah. Especially if it was your dad's car, your grandfather's car, absolutely. Something that you want to recapture. And it is the truth. More people die in cars than they do in homes, but cars have a certain type of message. And we'll get more into this as the upcoming weeks come. The attachment that we form with items, can we possess them in our external lives after we pass? Is there something about these cars and garages that are locked away that still have the spirits of somebody? And maybe they don't like the way you did the oil change, so they're going to do something.
I told you not to use that synthetic blend.
Don't use that Pennzoil. Amen. Yeah, when you're sleeping at home tonight, thinking about all these things about Christine, these stories are out there, guys. Please do the research. Please do the homework. And remember, if you're ever interested in any of the ghost hunting stuff, please feel free to email us or DM us on the Haunted Garage @IG from all of us here. We'll be seeing you.